You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
There was a brief moment of confusion during our warm-up checks as my legal name was used and Sydney thought it was in reference to her.
To be fair, I wasn't looking at the Zoom layout, so it's hard to tell if anyone's talking to anybody at any time because we're all staring at our screens. But Joe took a pause and was like, kind of like, who are you? What's your name? And then he just said a random name to me, which was a random name. And I thought, oh, it's like a weird joke Joe's doing. Skid just goes, that's my name. And the name.
And Sydney went, what?
Was not Skid. It was not Skid. That was not the name that was said. You have some explaining to do.
I do. This is amazing. Like, I didn't realize
Sydney didn't know. I thought she was our friend.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Here's the thing.
Deleting your numbers from my phone right now.
This is the thing. This is the reason I go by the name that I go by, which is for those first-timers, the Skid, is that is the name that my friends call me. So you, if you call me Skid, like, you are a friend.
Right. The only person that calls Skid this other name is the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah, and cops.
Cops.
So I know if I hear my legal name, I know I'm in trouble, which has been true my entire life.
Yeah. So what does your mom call you?
She calls me Skid.
And what's your sister's name again?
Sing.
Skid.
So I thought, no, but in my mind too, when I first learned about your sister and you were like, oh, her name's Sing. And I was like, that's such a cool name. And then in my mind, I was like, that makes sense. Skid?
That's why you don't have to ask, like, is Skid your legal name? Because if your sister's name is Sing, then yeah, your legal name is probably Skid.
Yeah, I was like, the parents were going through the alphabet, and they landed on the S's, and they were like, keep them coming.
That is my sister. So, that's a whole story that I can't get into, just in case my dad ends up ever listening to this podcast. But there was some confusion. I was born.
It. Yep.
And so my legal name is Patrick. So that was, I'm a very Irish background, Irish/English/Scottish background. And so I was supposed to get my mother's uncle's middle name. My beloved, great uncle, great guy, by the way, Sinclair, Michael Sinclair. He was a CB in World War II. Everybody loved this guy. I actually found my grandmother actually transcribed all of his letters home from boot camp in the front. And I have all those, and they're amazing. Like, he's just this just incredible guy with this incredible story. Died very young. And so they called him Skid. That was his nickname. And so I was meant to have his middle name. His first name is my middle name, and then they would call me his nickname, Skid. I didn't end up with his middle name. I ended up with another middle name. Won't get into it.
No. Why would you?
Yeah. But so Let I was always called.
Bygones be bygones.
I was always called Skid at home and Patrick at school.
Oh. But,
yeah. So I was, because I was always too shy to correct teachers when they would read out the roll first thing. So I would just go by it. Everyone just call me Patrick. So yeah, I've always, but as I've grown into being an adult, I just, every time someone called me Patrick, I just felt uncomfortable at a certain level. So I just decided.
When did you
call Skid all time?
Did your college friends call you Skid?
Yeah.
Did your high school friends call you Skid?
Some of them did call me Skid. The ones who knew me really well called me Skid, but a lot of them called me Pat or Patrick.
Pat. Wow, that's
just
so
sounds
weird.
So crazy to me.
You're Pat. I know. That's so weird. Pat Maher.
Yeah. which is my dad's name. Like everyone, yeah. My dad is Pat Marr. Mm. So it's just like, I don't want my dad's name. I would like my own name. And I had a name that nobody else had, which was Skid. So I wanted to use
that. I always find the familial naming process so interesting because weirdly, I had a similar experience. I wasn't there yet. I wasn't born yet. But my parents said, we're going to name our daughter after Nana, my great grandmother. And everybody called my Nana Sid. And they were like, we're going to name her Sydney after Nana. And my grandma was like, great. And everyone was like, cool name, whatever. I was born. And years later, they brought it up again. And they were like, we named her after Nana. And my grandma was like, Sydney is not Nana's name. And they were like, what? And she said, yeah, no, I don't know why you think that. Her name is Seidel. My parents were like, one, what the fuck? You never told us. And two, we're not changing her name to Seidel, so it's going to be Sydney. But my family called me Sid, and it was from my Nana. And they were like, oh, what a beautiful name, Sydney. And just no one brought it up. So, yeah.
How?
Seidel?
Wow,
that is so funny.
That's really interesting. That's very similar. We have a similar familial miscommunications. In our
and if we said our names at the same time, people would be more confused because they'd
sound
be like,
almost
Sid,
exactly the same.
Skid, yeah.
Patrick?
Oh, no, sorry. That's why I got confused when Joe said Patrick. It sounded just like Sid and Skid. So.
And Seidel.
When you guys do your spinoff podcast where the two of you talk to people, it needs to be Seidel and Patrick's story hour.
Right. Seidel and Pat.
Rolls off the tongue.
Pat and Seidel. Well, speaking of family, like weird family naming conventions, when my son was born, I really wanted to name, I thought this was very interesting. My maternal grandmother, her name was Marion. Mm. And my wife's paternal grandfather's name is Marion. They had the same name. So I was like, this is like a perfect opportunity to give my son the middle name, Marion, which I just loved. And I was super excited about. And my wife was like, no, absolutely not. Because they thought it was very weird in your family to name someone after someone who is alive. Which, like, I never thought of before. You know what I mean? I was just like, because in my family, like, I'm a Joe. My dad was Joe. His dad was Joe. You know what I mean? Like, it was just sort of like passed down that way. And so it was never strange to me. But then when she said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that is kind of weird. It's like, you name him after someone who's, like, passed on or whatever. And I was like, okay. So we didn't do it. But it's like, everybody's got their own, like, weird things in their family.
That's often true in Judaism, isn't it? Or at least some divisions of Judaism, you don't name somebody after someone who's alive.
Is it like superstitious?
I didn't really get into it. It seemed pretty clear cut, but I don't know if it's because it's like, that means the person's going to die a month later. Like, I don't know what the reason
is. I curse you.
I assume it is like the city of New York or probably other cities where you're not allowed to name like buildings after living people or bridges after living people. Like I think we've talked about this on the show before, maybe not. So there is a Frank Sinatra School of Performing Arts not far from where I lived at one point here in Astoria, and Tony Bennett built it. I think the story is he had intended to call it the Tony Bennett School for Performing Arts, but New York, you cannot allow it. And I think it's because you don't know what that person is still going to do while they're alive. And like, what if they do something truly horrific and then that school is named after someone who like publicly did something truly horrific and then you got this thing.
Yeah. I think now we've come to realize that does not end after you die either.
That's really interesting, Nick. I just listened to a episode of 99% Invisible. This is a digression a bit, but
another plug for 99% Invisible.
So good.
Why are you listening to this podcast when you could be listening to 99% Invisible? Far superior podcast. Please go ahead, Sid.
No, listen to it after this episode. But it was about names and the convention of naming things. And they brought up the specific, and like human names. And then they brought up the specific auditorium in a school that was named the Robert E. Lee Auditorium. And there was like a black female student on her first day freshman year who saw it and was like, what the hell? and immediately went to the principal and was, they just asked who is named, like, why is this name this? Who is it named after? And it turns out in this like long roundabout thing, it was named after a superintendent who just so happened to have the same name. And to add like insult to injury of that, he was a huge like civil rights activist and was one of the early advocators for like non-segregated schools in the 60s and like did all this work. And they named this auditorium after him as a thanks. And then the student was like, what the hell is that? And they had a whole commission. They were like, should we change the name? Should we shorten it to Bob? Because people called him Bob. But then the family was like, well, that's not his name. His legal name is Robert E. Lee. It was like this whole ordeal. And it's just a name. But it, yeah, it has so much meaning. Yeah. And
a lot of nuance. A lot of nuance. Yeah. It's interesting.
It matters what you name people.
I always tell people, this is a longstanding policy of mine, not to name anything after any active athletes.
Yeah.
That's a great piece of advice.
Yeah, because I had a friend who she was a huge Red Sox fan. And she got a cat in 2002. So she named it Nomar after Nomar Garcia Perez.
Nomar.
2 years later, he gets traded to the Cubs and he starts to suck. And now you're stuck with this cat named Nomar for the next 15 years of your life.
Shitty Cub cat that sucks.
To be fair, Nomar is a pretty good name for a cat.
It is a good name for a cat, but it's like, you know, what if. All right. So this is the other example that I brought up before. I have a relative who is named after an NFL quarterback.
It's true. That is so amazing.
Which is like an active NFL quarterback who happens to quarterback a team that is in direct opposition to my family's favorite team.
So now you can narrow it down, folks.
You can narrow it down there. So I was like, I keep saying, it's like, please don't do that. This quarterback seems like a perfectly nice guy, but you know who was I was born in 1972. If someone decided to name me after the most popular, well-regarded athlete the year I was born, I would have been named O.J. Marr. Yep. So you just don't know.
You still know.
Don't take the chance. That's all I'm saying. You just never know.
O.J. Marr.
Never know.
Orenthal Marr.
Orenthal Marr.
Orenthal.
Orenthal James. Orenthal. I don't know what his middle name is.
Orenthal is a town in New Jersey.
Jimmy. Orenthal Jimmy.
So, God, we hate jumping into this thing. What TV shows are you guys watching? How about Sydney? Are you watching any television? Do you even own a television?
I do. Thank you, Steve.
Really?
I
That's kind of lame.
I own one. I try to watch TV when I'm doing other things, which is so sad. Like when I'm doing laundry, when I'm doing the dishes, I'm like, I should watch an episode of a TV show I like. So my brain is poisoned. I can't just sit down and watch TV and not feel like I have to do something productive. I'm working on it.
That's true. I'm the same way. I only watch TV like when I'm having a meal, like if I'm like on a lunch break, or if I'm stuffing merch envelopes and shipping shit. Like that's when I watch TV. If I just put on TV and sit and watch it, I'm like, I'm just going to play a video game. Like something's weird about it. I don't know. I can't do it.
I used to be so much better. And I'm like I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. But I did watch all of Outer Range, which...
I watched the first episode. Oh. It was pretty good.
This is exactly what I was going to talk about.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait. Okay. Matthew, in one word, let's say what we both thought on the count of three.
I haven't finished it yet. I haven't finished it.
Okay. So I'm not going to do this with you.
Way to just sour the whole fun moment, Matthew.
As usual.
I thought that it was good. I thought it was interesting. I really like Josh Brolin. I like Imogen Poots. I thought that everybody was good.
Did you just say Imogen Poots?
Poots.
I didn't
Speaking of
a bit,
unfortunate names. Imogen Poots.
I fumbled.
I clipped a bit the audio.
Great. Our biggest fan, Imogen Poots, is never going to listen to us again because I messed her name up. Yeah. But no, I think all the actors are great. And also, I'm a sucker for like beautiful locations, and they're just riding horses and like constantly in vast mountains, and it's fun to watch. I'm like, this is pretty to look at.
That's why I watch Yellowstone.
Yeah. No, literally. I mean, this is like a, when this I saw, is not a Yellowstone, but.
Yeah, when I saw the ad, I was like, is this Josh Brolin being Kevin Costner? Is that what's happening?
Not at all.
No. Okay.
It takes some really interesting leaps in editing. They do a lot of really weird, like, crossfades and zooms. They do the vertigo thing where they like track while they zoom out. So you get like, you know what I'm talking about? The Hitchcockian vertigo element.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The jaw shot.
What was that?
The jaw shot.
The jaw shot. I forget what it's called. It has a name, but
the vertigo.
It's a dolly zoom. It's called a dolly zoom.
Yeah.
I thought it was a racked focus. No?
No, that's different.
That's different?
You're so dumb, Nick.
Cinematographers, DPs, call in with your theories.
It's definitely an interesting TV show because I think they're doing, even though it's on Netflix or Amazon, they're definitely doing more interesting things than most like studio produced shows. So I think it's worth the watch, even if you don't love how it ends. Matthew? Okay.
So I was going to shill for it as well. It was created by a guy I went to school with. So,
oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
By school, do you mean New York University or Juilliard?
I mean Juilliard.
Yeah, of course you do.
Your old playground chum. Out there on the swings at Juilliard.
We were on the lacrosse team together at Juilliard.
We played many games of lacrosse. And mine, out there
the tetherball courts there, the blacktop at Juilliard.
We played a little wall ball together.
a little handball. Riding the team bus together to matches for Juilliard. New Haven to play Yale School of Drama and handball.
It's a heated rivalry.
Yale School of Drama.
It's the homecoming game. That's Yale and Juilliard take each other on the handball. it gets pretty desperate out there.
That's so funny.
I would say I'm not finished yet.
How many episodes have you seen of the show?
I'm 4 episodes in.
Okay. Ooh. Mm.
Of how many?
8.
Was 8?
Oh, it's 8. Okay.
What is it on?
Amazon Prime.
It's just I can't remember what the actual pitch was, but it's been described as Yellowstone meets Twin Peaks, which I think is not inaccurate.
Very Twin Peaks. Some things are like a total character, like some of the characters I'm like, well, that's James. That's like who they base this character off of. So it's very Twin Peaks.
Well, and I'd say like Brian's plays, I find them, I like them most when they get weird.
This gets weird.
Okay. And this definitely gets weird in a way that I find very enjoyable.
Yeah, I did like the first episode. I will continue on, especially given your endorsements here.
Well, Twin Peaks makes me unable to sleep at night.
You're not you can't handle Twin Peaks.
Right. So is it that level of
Joe is so deeply disturbed by Twin Peaks that he can't manage. What? He can't cope.
He's got a David Lynch problem.
What?
He does.
What part of Twin Peaks makes you unable to sleep?
I think it's the left peak. I think it's the left peak, not the right one. It's the left one.
Just the left one.
David Lynch, I am convinced, he is a poisoned mind that is affecting, like, he is attempting to destroy the fabric of our reality. Like, he's a horrible influence on the world.
He's calling Cthulhu.
I mean, he's the closest thing I've ever seen to a demon, like, in terms of an artist.
Doesn't he have a foundation that does, like, really good work? Or maybe it's like... Like, isn't like transcendental meditation theme?
Around and like talk to people? Does he have like conversations?
He seems like a perfectly nice man.
Yeah, I don't understand how he could like interact in real life and then make art like that. Like, I just don't, get it.
He's a freak.
I've always said nobody more perfectly replicates the experience of having either a dream or a nightmare than David Lynch.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. David Lynchian dream sequence, like they're weird and they're uncanny,
but they
also make sense and they further the plot.
No one does that as well as he does that. There's no one that matches him.
You have a nightmare, like a real nightmare, do you get up and you're like, that was awesome? Because like, for me, watching Twin Peaks is like watching a nightmare that I'm having like unfold. I'm not, you know, like,
wait, can I tell you? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to quickly say, I played New Game Who Dis with Troy and Ross and Nora, and we played...
You were in that one? I forgot that.
Something is wrong here. It was so creepy. And Claire Grant. And it was so creepy. And like, me and Ross did this really fun scene that was like a dream sequence.
It looked really cool.
Felt just like that, though. Like, I felt like I was in that moment, and I was like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, it's so weird. So weird.
Right. So I'd rather go see Doctor Strange. Thank you very much.
What were you going to say, Matthew?
I was going to say, I had a dream the other night that one of my oldest friends from high school was walking around trying to popularize that when you are in mourning, someone you care about has died, you should walk up to, when you're saying hello to people, you should say, instead of greetings, you should say griefings, so they know what they're dealing with when they talk to you. This was the dream. And then I texted him about it, and it felt right. And I wanted to text him. I was like, did you actually say this at one point? And he was like, no, but he said, so we should all say season's griefings.
Or on Good Friday.
Yeah.
Season's griefings.
Season's griefings. Oh, just beware.
Okay. Well, I'm watching News Radio.
Nice.
That was an amazing punchline to that whole segment.
It's really good. If you haven't seen News Radio,
Wait, Sydney, have you seen every episode of News Radio from the beginning?
What? Why would I have seen that?
I don't know.
She hasn't seen any news. I would
doubt. No, I've never seen
seriously, she's ever seen any news radio.
A spectacular show.
Fantastic.
Should I,
it's a great show.
Oh. Should I go watch it now?
It's one of those shows. I think you would love it. It has.
I'm looking at it
every
now.
Every aspect of like production and entertainment is like, the angles are all covered by these caricatures that are so well done. They're really, really good.
Dave Foley, so good. Phil Hartman, of course.
Phil Hartman.
Is so good. Yeah. It's just terrific.
It's Stephen Root, like top to bottom.
Stephen Root. Oh,
it's the best. For my money, it is the best ensemble in a sitcom outside of Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, it was a lot of the episodes were directed by James Burrows, who directed almost all of Cheers.
And speaking of Cheers, you could say great stuff about Frasier and that ensemble, but it was also a lot smaller. And it wasn't as like tight knit and in terms of like they all work at the same place. They do the same job, right? But they're all so unique. And it is a really great ensemble.
I love the show, and the cameos are amazing. Like every episode will have some like super amazing performer come in and like do. We're watching it now. I love it.
How are you watching it? Is it on Prime or something?
It is.
Or did you buy it?
It is on Pluto. It is on the Pluto app, which is free, although it has commercials in it. I don't like watching commercials, so I've just purchased all of the seasons on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So if anyone
it's
wants my login.
It's free on Crackle, which I just Googled.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Crackle well, Sid, I highly recommend you watch it and be ready to talk about it next episode.
Well,
a little homework.
A little homework. In fact, I'll watch a few, too.
The viewers at home, you watch a few too. Play along at home, and we'll all talk together.
Comments in the Patreon section.
Yeah.
In the comments section, we'll all discuss News Radio together.
I love it.
Nick, you don't have to. You have an important job.
You're not obligated, Nick.
But you know what I marvel at is your complete inability to deal with this haunt.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh my God. We're so hosed. We're so hosed.
So you did ultimately sort of resolve the situation, but at the immense cost of a lot of Northwood's strength and a lot of wisdom damage, sanity damage, basically, to many of the rest of you. So now, like, you can see, like, that the scream, the shriek of the spirit actually cracked, like, some of the windows in this room. Didn't break any. But it cracked some of them. And all that's left now is an eerie silence.
Thank you, Alfie. Thank you. I appreciate you breaking me free from the embrace of that woman.
And he's lying on top of you. He's just Yeah, I didn't hurt you, did I, Uncle? And he's like, kind of, he's like pushing himself off of you, rolling over.
Not at all. Though I feel a little bit less strong than I was earlier.
What do you mean?
Credit where credit is due. She was quite an excellent dancer. But she did seem to be sapping my strength as her face melted away.
She weakened you.
Does anyone have any means of healing strength damage?
I can't say that I do, sadly.
No.
This is the one area where I grudgingly admit a priest has any value.
Well, I just can't promise I'll be as effective as normal. Shall we?
Yes, well, if we have dispensed of it here, what are you doing?
He looks down at Foley, who's still scrambling in the ashes of the fireplace. And does he manage to get all those silver bells up?
Yeah, as he's still kind of picking through the dust, the dust bunnies, like he's able to finally gather all 12 of these little bells. They might be valuable.
Yeah, he's got an appraise.
Appraise check.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. That is a 20. Dirty 20.
Okay. Looks like they're worth probably... They're a very fine make. And it's very sort of pure, untarnished silver. They look like they're worth 5 gold pieces each.
Each? And there's a dozen of them.
Nice.
So 60 GP. You want to jot that down, Nick?
Yep, I got it.
Yeah, so he'll say, he gets them all back in the box. Say,
did I stop it? Is that it? Is it over? I did it.
Well done, Foley.
I'm glad you're all right, Binky.
Yes, thank you, Foley.
No problem. It was just getting these silver bells. I think if we get it out of the house, it'll stop anything like that from happening. And they look pretty nice as well. We could sell them.
They look top rate. Do we know how the lady of the house died that time she died?
We didn't get any specifics from the story that was being told. Could you tell anything looking at her?
Bruises started to appear around her neck. I suspected she had been strangled or hanged, perhaps?
Perhaps she hung herself.
Or perhaps she was murdered.
Perhaps.
We know that her husband
eyes bulging and shit.
She and her husband died mysteriously. They've called this place cursed. And don't forget, there might be a bat-winged creature living underneath it.
All right.
There were also multiple generations of foxgloves, you know, that lived here in this house.
That's right. And she didn't answer to the name serially that we.
So it might not even be her. Yeah.
Yes, why should we assume that only one family member was murdered over the generations?
And yes, why would we assume that only one killed themselves in this place?
Make sure you guard your neck if we find Aldern.
All right, let's go.
Yes. Take the advice of the Wu-Tang Clan. Protect your neck.
Say, yeah.
Everyone listen to Thorne. Don't do as you normally do. Leave your throat out in the open.
Keep don't it bleed protected. With your throat.
Realize in this strange situation, it's valuable.
Averxius will go to that door to the east and will open it. This is right behind this grand piano that Thorne has closed.
Yep. Don't touch the piano, anyone.
Your charm is over. You can continue to role play it if you'd like.
Yes, I've got my eye on you, Casino.
Thorn?
Don't touch
it. Don't mess with me.
She's fired up.
She's still raging. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys just had a face-off. Like, you guys had a confrontation.
She's heated. She's, like, not making eye contact. She's like, don't talk to me. Let's go. Averxius, move it.
Yeah, actually, that's interesting because you... Thorn, like, you were kind of swept up by your love for this instrument. And Casino, like, you were in your rage state. So that would probably linger if someone like did something like that to you while you were feeling that way. So it is, it's something to think about.
Averxius will open the door to the east if it is unlocked.
Okay. It is unlocked. You open the door. And the second you open the door, you hear this unsettling scratching sound. There is a, it looks like a disused washroom. There is a, like a bathtub sitting on against the northern wall. And you hear this, yeah, it's an ancient metal washtub. There's a ring of mildew that you can see even from where you're standing, crusting along its edge. And there is this strange, furtive scratching coming from inside the tub.
Mm-mm. Oh. Mm. No, no, no.
No, thank you.
Close the door.
Yeah, should we go around the other way?
Yes, yes, I believe we should go around.
He closes the door.
What?
This is the thing. Like, I believe pretty strongly, at least right now, that Averxius does not fear like anything that he can cut to pieces. But when it is this kind of shit, like, there's no amount of strength will do anything to this kind of shit.
Stand aside, Averxius. Someone could be in trouble.
No.
Northwood, no one is in trouble. I saw on the top, it's empty.
Can you guarantee that?
I cannot guarantee it.
Then I must proceed.
Oh, no.
You may join me if your heart is pure and you believe in a just and verdant tomorrow.
He's very weak right now.
Pinky, I got your six. You look like shit.
Yeah. Please. Please, some of you believe in all of those things.
Yeah, you can see, like, his cheeks are sallow. Like, he looks like he's aged 10 years, like, since he's been, what happened there.
You are not in your right mind. These things, they will sap away your life force, and you will be able to do nothing to stop it.
Be that as it may. And Binky will go into the room.
Casino follows Binky into the room and back the map.
Okay. Lord Northwood, as you walk deeper into this washroom, like, you can see more and more of the tub as you're walking in, and you finally can see enough of it that you see what is causing the scratching sound. At the base of this tub, trying pathetically seems to crawl its way out, is a foot and a half long rat. But even apart from its enormous size, it is strange because it is covered. It is hairless and it is covered with what look like tumors and growths.
Oh no.
And its eyes are, they seem to have been like burned out of its skull. And it's like, it's just squeaking and like scratching at this tub. It clearly can't see. And it seems to have fallen in here and it's trying to claw its way out.
Everyone, you can take heart. No living human is trying to escape the tub. That said, I shall offer terms to the tumor-filled rat.
Rat.
You there.
What do you
mean?
Rat.
I offer you the terms of unconditional surrender. Do you accept?
Squeak.
I shall take that as a yes. Let us go.
Is there a towel nearby?
There is like an old sort of hand towel lying tossed aside like on the floor next to the tub.
Casino picks it up and places it over the rat, and in one quick motion as she puts the towel over. She takes her long sword and just two-handed stabs downward into the towel, into the rat, to put it out of its misery.
Dude.
Okay. Give me an attack roll.
That's awesome, oh my God. Be careful. Don't pop a tumor into your mouth.
What?
Yeah, it squirts right into your mouth when you do that.
And you didn't say you close your mouth when you did it.
You didn't say specifically that you closed your mouth.
She just covered it with the towel. That's pretty
I had the towel.
Your hands off the chest piece.
Dude, it's a towel tumor. Over the... That's a 21 to hit.
That is it. That is a successful hit.
Do you want me to deal damage?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Deal damage directly to the pus squirting tumor. And let's see how far it gets.
Drop my dice. I need another D8. Hold on.
It saps you of strength and wisdom as well.
No.
No, I applaud the choice.
Yeah. The towel is a good move,
but 19, the towel is a very good move.
19 points of damage.
Okay, you effectively skewer this poor creature, and it's like it shudders for a moment, and the scratching stops. It lies still. And you can see, actually, like where you stabbed it through the towel, there is this explosion that underneath the towel, like there's this boom, this like bloom that appears suddenly of like a red and white and yellow that appears like stains the towel, like where
you were right, Joe.
Yeah, you were right to put that towel on it. That was bad.
That was so
cool.
And
she takes her foot against it with the towel and just pulls the sword back out.
Fully pulls the towel off of the rat and just dabs his face from sweat. It's hot in here.
Pull it!
Oh, God! What are you doing? Fucking idiot.
Why are we touching everything in this fucking house?
You absolute moron. Why are you doing that?
Quick, wash it off. I put him in the tub with the rat.
He falls to the ground screaming in agony.
I dunk him in. Wash it off. She turns around to Binky and she says, "All right, well, now, let's keep going."
Casino, the rat did accept the terms of my surrender. That was the surrender I offered, and then you murdered the rat.
It's a rat, Binky.
It's very sick.
I think it's a mercy kill, frankly.
You know what? Thanks, Thorn. Yeah, mercy kill. Exactly. All right, moving on. She leaves.
Can I roll a quick perception check in here, in this room?
Sure.
Let's see. It's I did a 21.
You don't see anything. It looks like the only thing that was of mild interest was the towel that was lying next to the tub.
Is there any smell that's familiar to that smell that we smelled for a second when we entered the house? Is that the rat smell?
The burning hair? No.
Yeah.
No, you don't smell that at all. Yeah, again, like you, that sort of moldy, musty smell is sort of everywhere. And then in this room, it's augmented by the smell of this rotting, like flesh disease smell that evidently is this rat.
Just want to point out, you guys said the word smell about 14 times in the last 90 seconds. Moving east.
Moving east. Lord Northwood steps out of the door to the bathroom, which leads to the hallway, like Kramer entering a room.
And then cue the audience applause.
Yeah, only for seasons 2, 3, and 4.
We love Northwood.
All right, so...
Wait, really? Did they stop doing it?
Yeah, they hated it. The producers did not want people applauding when it came in the room, so they eventually
told the audiences to stop.
They did.
They would start and they'd be like, "Do it again. No, stop clapping."
Yeah, you can see it when Kramer comes into a room. I think in like seasons, I think it's like 3, 4, and 5. Like they clap, and then I think maybe it's like season 5 they stop. Like they stop clapping when he comes into the room. Fun Easter egg. Watch for that. Okay, so you open the door. You go back out into this narrow hallway, and you open the door at the far eastern side of it. And you open the door, and you see the following. There is a dusty room that has a long couch that seems to be caked with white sheets of what looks like a wispy fungus. There are eddies of dust that seem to skitter along the warped floorboards as if caught up by a slight breeze, but there is no wind noticeable in the air.
Does this feel like poisonous to you guys?
Yeah, Thorn goes and just jump flops onto the couch.
Okay.
Is it? Does it look like it's a hide-a-bed?
It may pull out, but there's only one way to know for sure.
That is the most adorable way I've ever heard someone say a sleeper sofa. A hide-a-bed?
Yeah. We said hide-a-bed.
Yep. Hide-a-bed? I've never heard that. That's so cute.
Yeah, is that like a Midwest thing? We said hide-a-bed.
Hide-a-bed. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we said futon or sleeper sofa. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hide-a-bed.
And there's a fireplace there, too?
Yeah, there's a fireplace. There are windows. There's a window on the north wall, a window on the east wall, and there's another door on the southern wall.
All right. Specifically not touching anything, Thorn is going to go in and roll a perception check.
Okay.
19.
You don't see anything.
Smell?
You don't see anything?
It's just the usual mustiness?
Yeah, same sort of odor as is in the rest of the house.
This couch is freaky.
You rolled a 19, right?
Yeah, 19.
Okay.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, okay. So as you step into the room, you're like basically standing in the middle of the room?
Yeah.
You get this... a flash of what feels like your own memory. It's a memory of filled a woman. It's like you are a woman filled with worry about what her husband is doing on all these late nights down in the basement. And an instant later, you are convinced that your child is in danger. Give me a will save. Okay.
Mama Bear.
Oh, not great.
No.
9.
Oh.
Okay. You are convinced, A, that Foley is your child, and that B, you have to take him out of the house right now.
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
And unfortunately, you have no choice in the matter.
All right, so Thorn rushes back out. And she's like, no. And she pushes past Casino. And she's like, watch out, Averxius! Watch out, Red Man! And she picks up. She rushes past Averxius. He didn't stop her. She picks up Foley.
Oh, no. He stops you. He jacks your shit up against the wall when you go for Foley.
She's already passed you. You didn't stop her. And she is Foley. I'm sorry, you get to roll a CMB there, Joe.
I do. And if I miss it, you'll get past me. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Ho, ho, ho,
do I roll a CMD or is it just my CMD my score? Foley.
No, it's just against your. It's like an attack roll against your AC.
Oh, it's my AC. Okay.
Well, against your CMD.
Against my CMD, which is an 18.
An 18. That's pretty good. I got to roll pretty well.
Come at me, bro.
25.
Ah.
What? What are you aggravated about? You were about to take Foley out of the room. Nick, you're too method. Daniel Day-Lewis over here.
He's too into this.
All right, so Averxius, like, you try to, like, push through to Foley, and he just grabs you, like, by the collar and just, like, pushes you against the wall.
Snap out of it! What are you doing?
Let go for me. I must get my child out of here. My son, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. It's not safe here.
You're talking nonsense. And he just smacks her in the face.
Now,
I had to stop her screaming.
Yeah, he's going to try to smack her.
Okay.
Give me
an attack roll.
An attack roll. Oh, that is a 14. So this prob's a miss.
It is a miss.
Yeah. So she's like,
not fast enough, devil man.
And she goes to kick him in the nuts.
Okay.
The devil nuts.
So what would that? I would just roll an attack bonus. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Ready?
Attack bonus.
This one hit either. 17.
17, no. Balls
against
of steel.
Against your touch AC?
It's just clang against
your dick touch AC?
All right, so yeah, we're wrestling right now. Are we in initiative skid or what happens at this point?
Let's see. So give me a thorn. Give me another will save.
Okay. Correct die. Is a 17.
Okay. So you finally are, after this like little wrestling match here in the hallway, you're able to kind of like gain your composure a little bit. Like this memory is like fighting you for control.
Ugh.
But you're able to sort of like resist and like gradually come back to yourself, but it still feels like immediately something that is happening to you.
Ugh.
And it takes a while for you to kind of shake it and get back to into your own mind.
I don't know what's happening to me. I don't fully. I know you're not my son, but I feel like you are my son, and I have to get you out of here. Thank you, Averxius, for stopping me. Something's wrong with that room.
Something's wrong with this whole house.
He eases you down off the wall.
Let's go around. Let's just go around. I'm sure there's another way to get through. Let's not risk it. I don't know what that was, Thorn, but don't do that again.
I don't want to. Casino, I don't want to.
It's another haunt.
Well, I think let's send Alfie.
Well,
and to open the door, and if he is affected, we know what to do, which is to knock him unconscious and carry him.
Yes, beat him to a pulp. Yes.
But there was another suggestion to just go around and not risk it.
Alfie, do not question the group's wisdom.
I love
collective
democracy.
Wisdom of very, all these very smart minds are trying to tell you something.
Perhaps
it's wise to listen.
Perhaps it's wise to listen.
So, sorry, so what do you want me to do again?
Go in there, open the door.
Go in that room where she was just overtaken by a ghost and...
Don't go, Alfie. Let's go. Casino was right. Let's go around, you fool. You lost too much. Something, that woman did something to you in the other room, Binky.
Yes. Binky, you're not thinking straight.
I won't lie that for a moment I was briefly tempted. But that moment has passed.
It is funny, too. Like, all of your judgments have probably been affected a little bit, too. Like, many of you did perceive wisdom damage,
mm-hmm,
right, as a result of the last haunt.
I don't trust any of you. I'm going the other way. And if you want to come with me, do it. And if you don't, do that. I don't care. And Casino stomps off. Back to the main room with the big manticore.
Okay.
Thorn rushes past Averxius and Foley, and she, like, for a minute, she's, like, tempted to still grab Foley, but she shakes her head, and she goes past him, like, "You're not my child, Foley! You're not my child!" And she goes,
I know that.
You are, right, Thorn?
No!
Averxius is going to go with Casino because she's a smart player.
Okay.
We got to make sure she doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone, once you get back into the room, the first room that you entered.
It's like double, you know, man.
Give me another perception check.
Son. Oh.
What's curiously
going on?
Strange. 17 for Foley. Averxius's score is unmentionably low.
A 13 for Thorn.
Lord Northwood's score is also unmentionably low.
Okay.
And Alfie's is even more embarrassed.
A 17 for Casino.
Okay. Casino. Did anyone else get
around? I think I got 17.
I think I said 17 for Foley, didn't I?
Oh, Foley. Yeah. Okay. So Foley and Casino, when you back out of this room and go back into the, like, the main hallway.
The lovely room of death?
The lovely room of death. The two of you notice that burnt hair smell again. Everybody roll initiative.
Oh, no. Okay, no. Skid, how long would you say we've been at this property? Because I cast heightened awareness on myself when we entered here, and it's 10 minutes per level, so it'd be 40 minutes. Have we been here for more?
You are still within that.
Okay.
All right. Foley Averxius, what did you get?
21.
21. Very good. Thorn, what'd you get?
15.
15. Northwood.
20.
20. All right. You and Alfie. Casino, what'd you get?
18.
18. All right. Foley and... Actually, yeah, Foley and Casino are the only people that can act in the surprise round. Foley, what do you do?
It's a strange smell. What's happening?
I'll cast resistance on Averxius.
Okay.
I don't know what else to do. I'm built to fight corporeal Johns.
That is certainly true. All right, and Casino.
And, as a move action, I will draw out.
Actually,
a
just
wand.
Get the one action.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Surprise round. He'll cast resistance on Averxius.
Very good, Casino. What do you do?
She's gonna cast guidance on Northwood because he's so messed up and she feels bad.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about before. I feel like I fucked that up with the bells. Here you go. Slaps him on the back.
You did. I appreciate you saying it.
Okay. So after these two things happen, the rest of you are confused as to why your companions are doing these things. Averxius, you see that the manticore in the center of this hallway lurches to sudden life. Its face, humanoid face, shifts to look like a woman's face, someone you don't recognize. And its fur erupts into flame. Its tail, its scorpion tail, strikes forward towards you. That is a 19 against touch AC.
That is a hit.
Okay.
Wait. Yes, that is a hit.
Okay. All right, that is 13 points of fire damage.
Whoa.
And give me a reflex save.
Ah! He starts screaming. Does anybody else see this? Does Foley see anything happen?
Foley, I think... Yeah, Foley does, but nobody else does.
Okay. Reflex save. 16.
Okay, so you do not catch fire.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this
you
burning
hear Foley
stinger.
Scream like,
it's alive! It's come alive!
And yeah, this burning stinger, like, boom! Like, lodges into your devilish flesh. And you can feel, like, burning, like, the wound. And, like, you can see, like, the flames licking up your chest. And then, just as suddenly, this apparition is gone. And you see just this stuffed manticore standing on its pedestal. The wound remains.
Whoa.
And none of the rest of you saw anything.
I didn't see it?
No. You just smelled the burnt hair.
What happened? What happened?
Foley's blinking his eyes and, like, rubbing them. Like,
well, are you all right?
I'm all right, but Averxius is... It came alive, I'm telling you. I saw it right in front of my own eyes.
What?
And it It hit Averxius with its stinger, its giant tail, its scorpion tail. And Averxius is like, do not see that. It ravaged my skin with a fire that I could not resist.
Normally he feels like he's immune to fire.
Of course it did, Averxius. Of course it did.
Don't talk to me like that, Northwood.
We all saw it.
Don't patronize me.
Thorn walks over.
It hurts and, real bad.
Yeah, Thorn walks over and does a heal check on you. For 9.
To see if I'm faking it.
Just to check out the wound. Farxish, are you okay? It looks painful.
And you can see just the scorch marks on his skin, torn up. Yeah, I mean, that's big for him. That's like almost half his hit points.
Yeah, you see this like giant puncture wound in his pectoral muscle and these scorch marks surrounding it. It just seemed to appear out of nowhere.
And we're out of initiative?
Yeah,
you're out of initiative.
All okay. Right, do you need some help? Let me help you out here.
Before you can do anything, he goes at the manticore, John, and just starts smashing it to pieces.
Okay. And yeah, you just start like hacking at it. You're smashing this thing, taking it apart. And it's you batter this antique to the point where it's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, Foley's like, all right, maybe you're wrong, Averxius. Maybe it was just an illusion. I know it actually hurt you, but you gotta ease down. You're just grinding metal.
Just grinding metal, Averxius.
Ease down.
Ease down.
Ease down. And, he calms him down.
Thorn. Oh, sorry. Could I ask for your aid?
Yes. Of course. Of course. Averxius. So Thorn pulls out her wand of Cure Light Wounds. And she... So you get 3 points on that first one.
Jeepers.
Nice. And then
where
9 points.
Where did you
points.
Get that wand?
Yeah, I bought it. It's in Sandpoint. And then 9 points on the second one.
Okay, great.
That's good. Okay.
Quickly, let us move before any more Hans come after us.
Thank you, Thorn. I feel much better.
Of course. Yeah, I don't think a room full of taxidermied poisonous animals is maybe where we want to be.
No, following you, Cassino. Go. Go. The sooner we're out of this place, the better.
And she heads down the eastern hallway where the room continues.
Okay. So, yeah, as you move deeper in...
Well, cool.
What's this good. On the floor? What's you this gross see, on the floor?
Yeah, there's like a narrow hallway. It seems to open up, and you can see the stained glass windows of this outcropping area, like at the far end. And there is a door. There are door matching doors on the northern and southern walls. And on the floor, as you are stepping into this sort of intermediary hallway between these two rooms, you see on the wall a pretty gruesome antique. It looks like it's a mummified monkey head that's hanging on the northern wall next to the door. Its tiny mouth gaping, and there's like a handle with a chain that extends from the monkey's gaping mouth. And on the floor between the two doors, there is a ratty throw rug that is partially obscuring a foul stain of dark colored mold on the floor.
Oh.
Please be careful.
Following you, Cassino. Go.
Cassino is going to spring a long jump over the ratty rug on the floor.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Give me an acrobatics check.
Don't mind if I do.
Sydney knows all about that.
Yeah.
You're a jumper, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like circus. She's like a Dick Grayson.
No, I'm talking about actual Sydney.
Yeah. I was a jumper. I did a long jump and
oh,
triple
that's
jump.
Right.
So wait, if you're just standing cool. there without a running start, how like, if you're well trained, like how far can you jump?
Oh, me? Not very far.
Horizontally.
How far can Cassino jump?
that's extremely difficult. I think what Cassino is doing is she's doing like a cool, she backs up two steps and she does like one foot jump and does a foot off the wall because the walls are so narrow and then cool. pushes her hand off the other wall. So it's like a one, two, three push to the other side.
Little parkour.
Little parkour.
And the roll doesn't reflect it, but she got a 14.
All right, that's enough. So, yeah, you're able to do that cool thing.
And I want to just do a perception check in the room with the stained glass.
Okay. So you cross into this larger room, and you see it's sort of dominated by this mahogany table surrounded by chairs. And there are twin fireplaces that I can...
So many fireplaces.
Yeah, there's fireplaces everywhere.
They were really intent on burning this place down.
Yeah. There are fireplaces on that loom on the western wall. And on the east, there are stained glass windows that obscure what must be a breathtaking view of the Lost Coast. And you know this from having walked around the outside.
From being cat burglars.
Yeah, from casing the joint earlier.
When we had a key the whole time.
Oh, God, so silly.
Whole crew of dummies.
Each window depicts a monster rising out of smoke, pouring from a seven-sided box. From north to south are depicted a gnarled tree with an enraged face, an immense hook-beaked bird with sky blue and gold plumage, a winged centaur-like creature with a lion's lower body and a snarling woman's upper torso, and a deep blue squid-like creature with evil red eyes.
Can I do knowledge planes?
Or arcana?
Yeah, you can give me a knowledge arcana check.
All right, I will do that. I got arcana.
I'll come in the room with Cassino.
Dang it.
Can I do the same? Roll over acrobatics, that is, to try to get over that sludge?
Sure.
Averxius tries to hop over it and gets a 19.
Okay, you're able to do mimic Cassino's like, acrobatics.
Foley, stay back. So Foley's going to stay back.
Lord Northwood will linger as well because he can't jump over that.
Thorn might try.
Verxius will examine that fireplace to the north.
Okay.
Nice. Thorn got a natural 20.
Oh, nice. Oh. Okay. Thorn is able to also successfully vault over this patch.
Cassino, that was amazing. Thanks for showing me the way.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. The rage has now subsided and Cassino is tired.
Nothing. Doesn't seem like there's anything in the northern fireplace.
Okay. Under the table.
Give me a perception check.
Okay. I got a 19 when I checked the room when I said I was perception checking. But
oh, okay.
And I got a natural
19.
Verxius got a 26.
Okay. The two of you spot there is like a small, sort of circular, like a big ring underneath the table, like in the just right, like under the center of the table. It's like a metal ring.
Oh, wait, on the floor?
On the floor.
Trap door.
What is this? Casino.
Help me move this table.
He goes, and just pushes the table out of the way with one hand, revealing this metal ring.
And yeah, you just see this. It's like a silvery. Just a ring, like, sitting on the ground.
Oh.
Okay, he'll pick it up.
Don't.
You grab it, and you pick it up, and it's too big for to fit around, like, unless it was a giant-sized creature, it's too big to fit around someone's finger.
Perhaps it's a choker.
Or a bracelet.
Yeah, it's not quite that big.
It's not a bracelet. A choker.
Bracelet size?
It's too small for a bracelet. It's too big for a ring.
Huh.
Foley, you detecting any magic here?
He holds it up. Foley, wah, 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 wah. Does he detect any magic?
No, it is not magical. Anyone, someone, Lord Northwood, do you have knowledge nobility?
I do have knowledge nobility.
Yeah, give me a knowledge nobility test.
I do.
I am not in the room. I'm not in that close to the room, so they'd have to toss it back or something.
Okay.
I've got it. I rolled a 19.
Okay. So, Thorn, you actually step up and you recognize this. You see, it is a napkin ring.
Oh.
It is a silver napkin ring. It looks like it might be valuable.
Take it.
All right. Folio, hand it to our Verxisol. He'll walk back.
I do not appraise it well.
I want to look at that monkey. Hand it to Folio.
Yeah, go ahead. Check out the monkey.
Look at that monkey.
We don't want to look at this door?
Yeah, it's this sort of desiccated, mummified monkey head with this chain with a handle hanging down from its open mouth. It's got these bulging open eyes that look like they're... It looks like taxidermied, like some of the other trophies in the other room. It's got like glass eyes in its eye sockets. They're wide open, and this handle and a chain hanging down from its mouth.
I want to pull that chain so bad. I know, but I shouldn't.
What?
I'm
what
not mean? Going to. What?
Do whatever you want.
It's
you just said you
want
to do that so bad?
Yeah.
Why is it a bad idea?
Oh, creepy taxidermy monkey that's like, pull this, pull here, pull lever.
So you'd rather do nothing than something?
All right. Casino goes, Averxius, watch this. And she pulls the chain.
Okay. Wait.
So Casino, like you pull down on this chain. And
I'm not standing
on
the rug.
Okay. All of you hear this ear-splitting simian shriek. Like a monkey shrieking into a megaphone. Like carries through this entire floor of the house. And it's just this shriek, 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 shriek. And then it stops.
Oh my goodness.
And it was incredibly loud. But that's it.
So my cousin Steven, you know Steven,
Steve Stagliano,
yeah, who actually ran Rune Lords for a bit.
I talked to him on the phone about this campaign many times.
Yes, on his honeymoon, I can't remember where he was in the world, but he ended up in a place where they were like right out, just outside of the jungle from these like howler monkeys, apparently.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, it was the scariest, most nightmarish sound I have ever heard in my life. He's like, in the middle of the night, it was just like he would just go for like an hour at a time.
He
said it was like a living nightmare, like you're about to be swarmed by undead. Like that's what it sounded like coming out of the jungle.
That's what. And I grew up like blocks away from the Denver Zoo, and there were howler monkeys there. And yeah, I know that sound very well. And it is horrifying. Especially
Casino,
when mingled with the howling of wolves and the barking of sea lions, which is how it usually comes to me.
I think Casino knocks it off the wall. I think when it's happening, I mean, it's probably so fucking loud. I think she like tries to rip it just down onto the ground, like knock it to the ground.
And yeah, it's just hanging on a hook. So it's just like, boom, you knock it off and it like, like rolls along the floor, still shrieking until it stops. Like maybe it rolls to a stop at Averxius's feet, and then it just goes silent.
This place is so freaking creepy. It rolls to his foot and just stops. Averxius
over this mold, this like thing, the stain under this rug. It like rolls over it and it stops at your feet.
He kicks it away like a soccer ball. Let's be done with this place.
Back to Casino.
What do you do, Casino?
Kicks it across.
I bicycle kick it up. I score. The crowd goes wild.
You shatter it through one of the stained glass windows.
I punt it through the stained glass window.
All right, Averxius is just going to... he's going to gingerly step on this mossy grossness. Because he wants to open this little door to the north. It looks like a small closet or something.
Okay. You step on this stain, like, under the rug. And it's a little The wood is a little, like, spongier here.
Yeah.
And it creaks, but otherwise nothing happens.
And he opens that door to the north.
Okay. You open the
door. What door, Joe?
The door to the north!
Door to the north!
Door to the north!
He kneels before it and says,
"The door in the north!"
You open... There is, I don't think we've ever mentioned this. Someone in Game of Thrones is like a Game of Glass Cannon fan.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
You mean from way back when?
Yeah, back like a couple years ago. The guy who played Lance Lannister.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. He was
a listener.
Yeah.
No
I
way.
Don't know if he still is, but yeah.
Yeah, he obviously doesn't listen anymore because we started sucking. But we were good in the old days.
We were pretty good. Back at when we were good, he was a good fan.
Back when we were young.
Okay, so you open the door, and maybe you peek your head in, and you see a staircase.
I found it.
You always say that when you find a staircase.
Yeah, he turns around. He turns around with a grin on his face and just says, "Thorn, I found the way to your little bat. Your friend."
I am a friend to many animals, but I don't know about giant bat creatures.
Wait. Did we all find that out at the same time, or was that a casino thing? Did Casino find it out? She told everybody.
Yeah, we all knew.
I meant Casino. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, Casino immediately is like, I don't even care that there's a bat down there, if there even is one.
So you're not afraid?
No, I'm not afraid.
You want to go get it?
No, I don't want to go get it. Why would I get the bat? I don't even need it.
So good.
Fair enough.
The completist in Lord Northwood makes him step over to his right and opens this door.
Thank
door
you.
To the south.
Door to the south.
The door to Dorne.
All right. The Dornish door.
The Dornish door.
You,
God, such geeks.
You open the door.
Oh, Sid, did you do Game of Thrones? Like all of it? Did you watch all of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You open the door to this cozy looking drawing room that is marred by unnatural dampness and thick sheets of mold that cling to the curtains closed over the southern window.
Is that wood in the corner? There's a chair.
Don't go in the room.
Yeah. What? I'm not particularly keen on breathing any mold.
Sure. Are you sure you don't want to go in the room?
I'll be.
Yes, sir.
Open that door, would you? And cover your mouth with a cloth and don't breathe it in.
Yeah,
hold your breath.
Yeah, I'm brave.
And Alfie walks past the curtained window.
Oh, shit.
And opens the door.
Oh, man.
To the east.
If this is like a whole thing. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not a thing.
Oh, it's a big TV on the wall, I think. It like, looks yeah, like a 60-inch television over here.
It's a perfect spot for it. It
really is.
This is actually clearly a library. It features two chairs, one of which lies on its side before a stone fireplace. There is a scarf, its reds and golds contrasting with the drab palette of the room, draped over the side of a fallen chair. A book sits face down on the floor between the chairs. A stone bookend, carved to look like a praying angel with butterfly wings, lies on its side in the fireplace itself.
Everyone, I think we found something interesting.
And Lord Northwood is going to go to the book. And he'll say, Alfie,
okay.
Investigate the fireplace, please.
Averxius will go past Thorn if she's not opening that door.
Yeah, Thorn will open the door.
Okay, yeah, there's another door into this library, so Thorn will open it, and Averxius will follow Thorn in.
Yep.
Casino comes behind Averxius.
Okay.
And Foley right next to Casino.
Okay, so you all enter the room. Lord Northwood.
Oh, dear.
as you're crossing into the room, everybody give me a perception check.
Man, haunt per room.
Ooh.
This is wild.
23.
I think it's the same haunt. I think it's inhabiting other things. Yeah. That's my thought. 18 for Casino.
18 for Lord Northwood as well.
Okay.
23 for Foley. 13 for Virxius.
And 23 for Thorn.
Okay.
Damn, girl.
Thorn and Foley, you both notice this scarf that's lying over the upturned chair. It starts moving on its own.
Oh boy.
Both of you roll for initiative.
Okay.
Okay. Oh man. Brutal. 16 for Foley.
And 15 okay. for Thorn.
Okay. Foley. One action. What do you do? Surprise round.
One action. What do you do? Surprise round.
What do you do? How come I always have to do something?
It is unfair.
It is unfair. Oh. You know what? Just for shits and gigs, I think he is going to... Oh, no. I couldn't do that action before, so... Yeah, He's just going to, you know, free action, like, point it out.
She'll be like, the scarf! Look out!
And then he'll cast resistance on Virxius.
Okay. Who else?
Thorn.
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 What do
Thorn
you do?
Thorn shoots her crossbow at it.
Okay. Give me an attack roll.
Okay. Here we go. Ooh, a 17.
Okay. Give me a roll for damage.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Pin it to the jaw.
One point of damage.
Okay. Wow.
So you sort of, you catch one of the tassels. But unfortunately, it pulls free and launches itself through the air at Lord Northwood's throat.
Oh my God.
Wraps itself around your throat, Lord Northwood. And you... In this moment, again, well, you lose your sense of self as this thing constricts around your neck. You see the ghostly face of a familiar person, of Aldrin Foxglove, bearing down into your face with absolute hatred, pulling the scarf taut around your neck. Give me a fortitude save.
Okay. This is one of my better saves.
Come on.
Natty 15. Bam. 22.
Okay. Salad.
All right. You avoid being killed instantly.
Oh my God. Phantasmal killer?
And instead merely take 15 points of non-lethal damage.
Oh my God.
As the scarf crushes your windpipe under this force.
Oh my God.
And then just as suddenly as it appeared... This apparition vanishes and the scarf falls limp.
Oh my gosh. God.
Beaky, are you okay?
I saw Foxglove. Aldrin Foxglove. A ghostly apparition.
Here in the room.
Here in the room, strangling me.
Around. Strangling you. But he's not here now.
No. And Beaky looks around.
I don't... It's much like the other things, the haunts. But curious, the others were people that seemed to be dead. People or things that seemed to be dead, and as far as we know, Aldrin Foxglove is very much alive.
Pinky, did you pick up that book, do I remember?
I went to look at it, yes, before I was beset upon by this infernal scarf.
Thorn walks over and tries to pick up the book.
Okay. You pick up the book and you look at the cover and it's The title is A People's History of Varisia by A.H. Muldern.
Would that roll like a knowledge history about this book?
Yeah.
Or not? Or yeah, knowledge geography? Knowledge
history. No, I can do a history.
14. Natural 4.
17.
Nice work, Bing.
Thorn, you haven't heard of it. Lord Northwood, you know that this is a fairly well-regarded sort of popular sort of book about of the history of this region. It's sort of frowned upon in more academic circles, but it's very popular among like non-historians.
Can I flip through it?
Typical people's history.
Wait, before you do, was it open to a page on the ground or was it closed?
Yeah, it was. No, it was lying open against the spine, like on the floor. It was open to page 183/184.
Okay, what is on that page?
You sort of scan over the page, and it's a part of a breakdown about relationships with the early Shawanti with the Varisian settlers that came from the south.
Sticking my finger in that page, can I just flip through to see if there's any notes in the book, if anyone's marked it up?
Yeah.
Or if there's anything that's been hidden in there.
Yeah, you flip through it. There are no notes. There are no folded over pages, corners, or anything. It seems to be... It's a book that has not... It seems like... It's an older book. It seems like it may have been an antique. But it hasn't been annotated or anything.
Alfie, what do you see in the fire?
Well, there is this... Sort of, it looks like an angel.
Is there a poker? Can you retrieve it?
Well, no, but I could just grab it. And he leans over and grabs this little marble alabaster statue. And he brings it over. One of the wings is broken off. Give me a perception check.
21.
The statue, it's this sort of nice looking little statuette that has one of its wings is broken off and it's sort of stained dark red. It like definitely looks like blood, and there are like bits of what might have been like human tissue embedded into it as well.
A murder weapon, perhaps. And we'll hand it off to Thorn in case she wants to do a heal check.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do a heal check. That. Just a 7. Ugh.
Yeah, you can see that it's... There are, like, clots of hair and bits of bone embedded in it.
Looks like someone brained someone else with this.
Perception check on the shelf. Anything else on the, anything else on the shelf?
Yep,
I did a dirty 20.
That meets me.
You, Thorn, you also spot another little carved figurine that looks like the one you're holding on the shelf. And as you look at them both, like they're bookends.
Oh, okay.
Man, something real, real awful happened here.
Yeah.
God, no wonder this guy's all fucked up.
All right.
Is that it? Are we done?
I mean, let's check that last room that's left, the one black space, and then let's go downstairs or upstairs, wherever we want to go.
Yeah, there's one more closet there out off the middle room, Skid, to the south. Is that another stairwell down?
Yeah, you go open the door.
Yeah. No, why don't you just tell us first, and then we'll tell you if you open the door.
Why don't you just tell me what's
why
behind
the
door?
Why don't you just tell us what's behind the door? Yeah, sure. Virxius will open it fully right next to him.
Okay. You open the door, and you see the door to the south. You open it, and you see there's a stairway leading up.
Oh, multiple stairways up. The spiral staircase was up, right?
Yeah, there's another curved staircase.
Curved.
The southern part of the building that leads up, and then there's this one also.
Up or down? Up. Make it fast.
I think up first. Yeah.
Up we go.
Averxis is just going.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He just starts walking up. He wants to get off this floor. In sure any hopes that there's
it'll
less
be
haunts
wonderful.
Upstairs.
It'll be wonderful upstairs. Nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Casino follows.
Okay. So, your group, the six of you, start marching up the stairs. In what order?
Averxius, then Foley.
Okay.
Then Casino?
Yeah, Casino will be next.
Okay. Then Northwood.
Then Alfie.
And then Thorne.
Okay. And Thorne bringing up the rear?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
When a GM asks you what order, I just want to take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm always just like, why don't you tell me what the order is that's going to make it best for everyone? Like, come on.
So this parade of perhaps soon-to-be fallen heroes climbs the stairs. The second floor of Foxglove Manor. And we'll find out what they see next time.
I knew we were coming to it, but like, I'd hope we'd see something.
Yeah, the hint.
Oh,
nothing.
The second floor.
Nothing.
Of a monkey's.
Nothing.
You get nothing.
You got nothing.
Giving nothing away.
I wanted a hint of a monkey's body on the wall. We got the head.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon. Legacy of the Ancients is a Glass Cannon Network production of Paizo's Rise of the Rune Lords Adventure Path. Paizo Pathfinder, their respective logos, and all Paizo titles, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo Inc. and are used with permission. The Glass Cannon Network is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Inc.